Senate Committee on Finance and Revenue is open. Good afternoon, everyone. We're going to go out of order here and start out on, we'll start out with a work session on Senate Bill 431 to let everybody know where we are here. Jamie, could you give us a refresher course and tell us where we are with the paperwork and the amendments?
Thank you, Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 431 deals with the levee and drainage districts around the, in Multnomah County, around the airport. And essentially what there currently are it's four taxing districts that comprise this levee area surrounding the airport along the Columbia River. And this bill would dissolve those taxing districts. Three of them are subject to Measure 5 compression. And then it would allow the levy ready to introduce a measure so that a new district could be formed that would combine all of those. And they would not be introducing a new taxing district with a permanent rate, but they would be proposing to have a general bond, and which would deal with the capital infrastructure, and then also operating and maintenance in a different sort of like a utility fee approach. From the revenue side of things, that would free up some value into the compression of the current taxing districts that are there. And from a functional point of view, those levies serve to protect that area from floods and maintain the integrity. But there's also accreditations with FEMA that are involved in maintaining those districts. And there's some, I think in the last meeting, Levy Ready described that they had some just technical language that they were going to introduce in the A4, which they have done. And we don't have the revenue impact statement and the fiscal ready for today, but are hoping to get it ready for later this week.
Okay, so we're the -4 amendment was largely technical. If I look at it, I don't see any action there, I guess, if I could be correct it that way. So any questions, guys? So we'll try and get our paperwork in order and aim for Thursday to pass this out. Mm-hmm. Okay. And close a work session on 431. We do have a housekeeping chore to extend, to move a tax credit bill to the tax credit committee. I'm going to open up a work session on Senate Bill 241.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 241 without recommendation with a subsequent referral to the floor of subject referral of tax expenditures.
Senator Boquist moves.
Senate Bill 241 to the floor of the Oregon State Senate with a subsequent referral to the Tax Expenditure Committee. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, Senate Bill 241 goes to the Tax Expenditure Committee. And I want to open up a public hearing, a joint public hearing on Senate Bill 393 and Senate Bill 901. On translator districts. This is an issue near and dear to Senator Benz. He'll catch up. Can you give us an overview on both?
Thank you, Senator Haas, members of the committee. So a translator district is a district providing television programming service, secondary television programming service, primarily to rural areas. There's one in the state. And currently, the way that that is funded is that the properties that are within that district are assessed a $100 fee per year. And if the individuals that are located within those boundaries for various reasons don't use that service, they can notify the district and be excused from that $100 fee. So, given that structure, Senate Bill 393 proposes to, if you think of the boundaries of the translator district as sort of a donut, they surround cities And those cities are exempted from the current districts and because they get programming service from sometimes, for instance, cable companies. And so the 393 would propose to allow for an election to enclose and incorporate those cities into the translator districts in order to include them in the fee structure. And we heard about that in a public hearing. Senate Bill 901 is a little different approach. It essentially changes in order to raise revenue, it changes the taxing structure upon an election on this issue would change the taxing structure to an ad valorem approach. So instead of having a $100 fee per year, it would be sort of what we would think of as normal property taxes. Both of these would be subject to an election and the district board being generated.
Okay.
Question to the right.
Senator Riley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, do the cities have an option on this? Can they opt out?
Senator Riley and members of the committee, so this would be subject to an election. So
that's not what I asked.
I'm sorry that I misunderstand.
I'm talking about, can the city council say no?
Oh, in my understanding, no, once that it passed through an election, my understanding is that there wouldn't be an opt-out provision. If Senate Bill 393 were passed, my reading of the bill is that the individual properties would still have the ability to opt out in the way that they currently do.
Senator Boquist.
Doctor, these appear to be competing. Is it like one or the other here? Or is somebody going to testify to that? These look like they're two different concepts.
Senator Boquist, these are related, and I think that that's why we're hearing them together. And Alex McHatted from those translator districts is here to talk about what the intent is of having these two bills in the legislature at the same time.
So we had 393 in the business committee.
All right.
Okay, Alex, coming up.
He had 901 in the business committee, too.
Yes.
Both?
So you guys are ahead of it. Only thing he's got to do is explain it to me, then.
Well, good afternoon, Chair Hass, members of the committee. For the record, I am Alex McAdett, Executive Director of Blue Mountain Translator District, Oregon's only translator district in the state. So we can address a couple of your points. So currently we have what is called a service charge system. Every year we send this service charge liability notice to people who live in the boundaries of the translator district. Boundaries were drawn to include properties within range of our signals. So everybody who gets this notice can either pay us or ask for an exemption. And if they don't reply, then a charge is placed on their property taxes. Now, we weren't allowed to include cities in our boundaries. We were incorporated because cities had cable and cable television didn't really want direct competition. So what we did there, the compromise was that we could impose a charge on a property in a city if we went and physically inspected their property to find an antenna. Unfortunately, technology has changed to the point where antennas look a whole lot different than they did. This bracelet on my wrist is actually a low-power television antenna that can receive all of our signals from two of our mountains at once. There's no way for me to go to a house and inspect that if some kid's using it in their room. Mm-hmm. So The service charge system, you know, it's fair because it allows people who are using this to pay us. If they don't want to use it, they don't pay. The problem with the way the system was created, though, stems back to 1979. So the very first year of our operation was 1978. We were permitted to levy ad valorem property taxes, the normal property taxes that Ms. McGovern referenced earlier. The problem is that when the legislature created the service charge system, they abolished property taxes, and in creating the service charge system, they included this key phrase. Apologies. A district created before May 7th, 1979 shall be considered to have received elector authorization for imposition of the service charge. So the legislature essentially said, we're going to act like voters already voted on this without having an actual election. As a result, the service charge system was abolished and voters were given this system and had it imposed on them without there actually being a vote. So the idea here with these two bills is to ensure voters have full control over our revenue system over time. They are two competing systems, and we believe that voters are the ones who should be making the choice whether or not we should be doing service charges or ad valorem property taxes. Now, I do want to add, there is a timeline that has been effectively implemented in these bills. Senate Bill 393 is about city annexation. Senate Bill 901 is about property taxes. Now, if Senate Bill 901 says that you have to have property tax elections in fall of presidential years. So if this bill passed right now, we would hold an election about property taxes in fall of 2020, and voters would say whether or not they actually want to do this versus a service charge system. Once we have had that election, then in 2021, Senate Bill 393 says you can't have city annexation elections until 2 years from now. So we don't want to annex 10 cities and then surprise a bunch of budget officers with unexpected compression problems from a competing property tax system. So what we want to do is have voters say once and for all whether or not they want property taxes or the service charge system in 2020. Once they figure that out in 2021, we can talk to them about annexation. The assumption being here is that I'm not going to recommend to my board of directors that we hold annexation elections if we get property taxes. More questions?
No. One bill. I don't know why I took two bills.
Sounds like there might be a conflict if we pass both bills. Yes? Is that your...
That is not our intent.
Okay.
Can you describe the conflict you're seeing?
I think what Senator Haas is referring to is the idea that we discussed in my office, which is suppose that you annex cities and then you also introduce ad valorem taxation, or you introduce ad valorem taxation and then you annex the cities. And in this bill, that's in these two separate bills, they're not contemplated concurrently. And if the legislature were to vote on those independently, it wouldn't signify that they were in support of them together on top of each other. I might be misstating that, but I think that's the concern, is that it would appear that they were in support of, the legislature was in support of both of these together, when in fact they're being contemplated independently, because they're not introduced in one bill as alternatives or a combination of approaches.
All right.
Senator Riley?
So how do you see the process of annexing cities after you pass the ad valorem taxes?
Well, I would actually recommend that my board not. I would tell them don't annex cities once we have property taxes. If voters in 2020 say that we're going to have property taxes in this translator district, that would be the end of it. The only reason we want to annex cities is so that we can expand the number of people who automatically get our service charge liability notices. We don't need to do that if we have a sustainable funding base that comes with levying ad valorem property taxes in the district boundaries.
So.
Follow up.
So if you pass the ad valorem tax, it would be just on the people outside the cities.
Yes.
But people inside cities would be using your service.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty common. You know, lots of government agencies are funded by property taxes of and used by people who don't pay those property taxes.
That's true. I get that.
So my understanding from his explanation, and I wasn't in the other committee, so you two should be well aware, is I think what he explained is the first thing they do is they're going to go out and there's an election to decide whether they want to do property taxes or they want to do fees.
Mm-hmm.
And then once that's decided, then the second bill would kick in, is only if they wanted to do fees, right, at which point then they could get votes in cities to annex it. So I think you could take an amendment from one and stuff in the other if the related clause was it, but they actually are two separate actions. You have to do one first, and there's a obviously dates in this thing, because he cited dates. And then once that happens, then the second one kicks in, and they go from there. However, if you have, correct me if I'm wrong, if you have property taxes, then Bill B, which is 393, doesn't apply anymore.
That's correct.
I mean, you just stuff the whole thing in one bill.
Is the problem that you mentioned, inspecting for antennas, the main problem here? Were these bills not to pass? Is that your dilemma?
That is the big dilemma. That's correct. We entirely surround 10 cities, and it takes some time to actually inspect them. I did that last fall. I volunteered on my weekends to go look for properties in 9 of the cities that we surround, and I found 300 unregistered antennas, people who had these the ability to receive our signals but weren't paying the service charge. That's worth a great deal of money to us every year that we're just not getting. And in order to ensure that everybody's using it, we constantly have to do this. We hadn't done a search of cities in quite some time. I don't know the last time we did a search of all the cities in Union and Baker counties. But that's what we're trying to figure out here, is a way to make sure that we get enough revenue from the people who are using it.
So in that, you sent letters to those people, or how did you approach it?
So the law requires us, once we find an antenna, we must send them a service charge letter by mail to notify them of their liability now that there's an antenna. And again, if they use it, they pay. If they don't use it, they exempt themselves. The big problem here is another legacy from 1979 was that cities had to have separate elections to choose whether or not those properties could be liable to receive the charge on their property taxes if they didn't reply. From what I understand, the cities in Union County all voted yes. If you find a charge, if you find an antenna on somebody's property and they don't reply, then you can impose this charge on the city. But the voters in Haines and Baker City voted against that.
What if they just say they don't use it and they exempt themselves?
If they don't use it, is the question to process?
How do you tell? How can you tell?
We just have to trust them. It is a Class B misdemeanor to say you're not using it when you are, but there's really no way to enforce that unless I start going to people's houses and catch them watching it after they've said no, which I do not have the authority to do.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's just talk about it. Jimmy, we've gotten stuff this together. But if we're only going to pick one, it's 901 that has to happen first, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
If we had to pick one bill, we would prefer 393 over 901.
Wait a minute. If 901 is first, then why would you pick 303 over?
Sorry. If there was a question about which bill should pass through the legislature this session, our preference would be 393 over 901.
I'm just curious why.
Well, property taxes is a difficult political calculus. It's one that we thought that we should do. We had support from the Union County Commissioners, who also believed that we should be having an election for property taxes, since we were denied this in 1979. But we know the system we currently have. We do this every year. We understand how the system works. And if there's a choice between property taxes or keeping the same service charge system with the ability to annex cities, we would much prefer to annex cities.
Question to staff: compression. Are you those counties in compression?
Yeah. I'm ashamed to say that I don't know off the top of my head.
Well, we do know.
Senator Riley might.
Yes, they are. There are cities in Union County that are in compression now.
So 393 would make more sense.
Yeah.
Because it's outside of compression. Is that not correct? 393 is outside of
compression. Compression doesn't apply to 393.
Because it's a fee. Right.
We received a special permission.
I'm surprised the cities are not here complaining, frankly.
You know, snooze, you lose. It's not like this one hasn't been around. And we haven't been here for, I don't know, 4 months, 5 months now already.
Right.
Just in the nick of time. Hey, guys. Senator Benz, we're working on your bills. And
yay.
Translator districts.
Well, I don't know if it's a yay or
we're trying to translate the dilemma.
If I may, Senator Riley, Chair Hass. We did actually go and talk to most of the cities in the area, so we let them know that there was a property tax bill on the table. We did our due diligence to make sure that the people who were going to be affected knew that this was coming.
expense. Why wouldn't we just charge them a fee?
Mr. Chair, Senator Boquist, this is a set of bills that have been developed without much of my involvement, primarily because most of this area is in Senator Hansel's district. A portion of the area is in Baker County, which is my district, but most of it's in Union County. What we did, rather than go through the details of which are, I think, 3 years ago, I looked at this pretty closely, but to recite how this should work, I'm not capable of doing that without messing it up. What we did instead is we contacted, my office did, all of the cities in that space, and of course the two counties, and those that responded were totally supportive. And so that was enough for us to support the bills. The other thing that was of great interest is that as our newspapers become more challenged and people don't have access to local news, this gives us an opportunity for you to have a local station, which is extraordinarily valuable for that rural community. But as far as the device goes, if I recall correctly, you put them on notice, and if they say they don't want to pay, they don't. If they ignore you, they get to pay. I think that's how it works. That's correct. I have it generally right? So the trick is to educate everybody up so they don't throw it in the mail in the trash when they get in the mail, and write back and say we don't want to pay.
We did talk about that.
That's all I know.
Okay.
Well, we do want help, and maybe it would be good for you and Senator Benz to reconnoiter here and figure out if this still is the best way, or maybe there's an amendment. Maybe, as Senator Boca suggested, you join these bills into one, and or maybe not. Maybe we come back and pass them both.
I'm okay.
Both as is.
Whatever we do, I don't
but,
care.
We do want to help.
I'm fine with both bills separately. I really agree. It just seems to me that $393 is a service and it doesn't levy a tax, and therefore you're not going to get into the compression issues. You'd think you'd have more opportunity.
Yeah, and it may be that both bills are still the way to go.
I don't care either way.
And I'm okay as well. Whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever the mechanism is.
We're ready to go. But maybe a meeting with some of your stakeholders before we go to work session next week. Okay.
I do want to add, I mentioned Union County commissioners supported the idea of a property tax vote, specifically because they think that voters in the area should have the chance to weigh on this because they weren't given the opportunity to do so 40 years ago. Senate Bill 393 is the one that has more support in the community. Five cities took positions of support for it, as well as Union and Baker County commissioners.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much for your time.
I'm going to close the public hearings on Senate Bill 393 and 901. And that does clear our decks for the day. We are adjourned.